Join me in Matthew 21. Very familiar passage. Many of you may have covered this in Sunday school this morning. Some of you, especially the younger classes. Some of you could probably quote this story as well as I'm about to read it. One of the great teaching tools of the Scriptures is repetition. Our Lord knew us well that we would need it. We would need the repeated teaching that we have in the Scriptures. So here again is the story of Jesus' entry on that Palm Sunday. Chapter 21 of Matthew, verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees, and spread them over on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet, from Nazareth in Galilee." I pray the Lord would bless his word and we might understand it. Today we commemorate, we remember and find purpose in remembering Jesus' final steps toward the cross. If you go back into Matthew chapter 16, you will note a particular turning point in the Scriptures. Up until that point, Jesus' ministry was external, was outward. He was walking town to town from village to village and was becoming very visible. Up until the point of chapter 16 when he first said, "I must die." When he made that proclamation, of course, the disciples didn't understand it. The people thought it was hard teaching. But at that point in time, he began his turn. He began his deliberate movement to become less visible and less approachable to the larger crowds. He began to concentrate on the people nearest him. And the crowds grew smaller and smaller because his teaching got tougher and tougher because he spoke of his death. Well, here in Matthew 21, we see probably what one might call the final leg, the final part of that inward movement, of that final approach, that final significant step toward the cross. Today we remember his final steps toward his passion, toward the very reason for his incarnation, toward the fulfillment of the Father's will, and as I've said, toward the cross. In everything we do this week, please always hold first that everything of this week leads to the cross on Friday. And then the blessing of which will follow, of course, that we will speak of next week. In this gentle but diligent march toward the cross, Jesus did consummate. He did bring to a closure the ultimate reason for his coming. He brought together that mystery we know as the salvation, that mystery that we know in the blessing of God. Your salvation is the reason for his march. And Jesus came of his own free will. It was the Father's will that this take place, But Jesus, being God himself, understood the capacity of all of this, and so he took this mantle wholeheartedly and marched to that cross. He did it without pomp, without fanfare. Yes, there were the crowds that met him this day, but they dissipated so fast. He came without the due attention of a king of all creation that we know of him. He came on a donkey, probably the lowliest of animals. He did this to fulfill the prophecy of Zechariah, which you see repeated here in Matthew 21. He came with great meekness. Sometimes we have a hard time defining meekness. What does it mean to be meek? Is that a position of weakness? No, no. Here in this passage, you see meekness. Jesus came in all of his strength, but he came in a very humble way. He came in a very simplistic humility, defying all that was expected of him. But please don't lose his purpose. He came with his attention squarely on that cross. As I mentioned to the children, even Peter didn't understand. The one he tagged as a leader of the disciples, he would argue with Jesus, "No, Jesus, you will not die. Surely this can't be. You must live. We have so much work to do." You can imagine that was Peter's thinking. Peter didn't understand, but Jesus said, "No, I have to die." He came to give his life as sacrifice. He came from heaven. Think about that for just a moment. Him being God left all of that and took on the lowliness, the vileness of the body of man. He came to raise us up from the depths of sin. He came to unify you and I. Why did he come as a man? Why did he come as a human? Because he had to come to fully bear, to fully hold in his body the sinfulness of man. He could have done all this as God. He could have done all this from heaven. He could have done all this at the right hand of God. But it would not have fulfilled the completeness of the salvation that was needed. So he came. But please understand that unification that was purchased, that was brought to bear in him coming. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. We've read this passage before. I have gotten questions on it from time to time. What does this mean, Pastor Tim? What does this mean? Romans chapter 6, we will pick up at verse 3. Romans 6, 3. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? All right, now we should stop and ask the question. Here is a very quantifiable group of people. He is not speaking to everyone. Christianity is not a wide-reaching, universal salvation. It is a remnant-style religion. There's a group. The group here is identified. Are you baptized into the name of Jesus Christ? Are you baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? He said, all right, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Jesus' death on the cross that day was also your death. It took the capacity of God to satisfy the justice of sin. But you died there with him that day. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death. The death he died, you died. In a spiritual way. Just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. How could we Thursday, those of you who attended Leroy's funeral, there was such positive speech here at his funeral. Why? It was a sad time. This man was loved by many. You have seen him in and about this church all of your lives, many of you. I only met him late. So how could we speak so positively David gave testimony of the last words he spoke to Leroy. He said, "Leroy, this is not goodbye. I'll see you on the other side." And Leroy responded, even in the final time. Why? How can we speak of such? How can we have such confidence? The passage here. What Jesus did, we did. Jesus died on that cross. Your sin was paid for. You died that day. You were buried that day with Christ, spiritually speaking. That third day, which we will commemorate next week, you also rose with Him. That grave does not hold Leroy. It'll hold his body for a while. No big deal. But Leroy is sitting with the Lord Jesus because of this passage. Because of Jesus' coming. Because of Him walking into Jerusalem that day with His eyes squarely on that cross. I pray you understand the capacity of that. Jesus accomplished all of this by giving of Himself freely. All of this Jesus had in mind as He made His way to the cross. As He entered that day, as He entered into Jerusalem that day, He cried because the people didn't understand. I pray that we do. I'd like to ask you to do something. Close your eyes. See how good your imagination is here just a bit. I want you to imagine with me for a moment that you were there outside the gates of Jerusalem. The air is thick. The dust is high. The muttering of sound of people's voices is all around you. Jesus. Who is this Jesus? Jesus is coming. Is it real? Did He really raise that Lazarus guy? I heard He changed water into wine. Do you believe that? Here He comes. Can you see Him? Look at that. He's on a donkey. That's no place. If He were a true prophet, He wouldn't be there. But here He comes. Picture in your mind being with the people as they gather to see this coming Jesus. You've heard the stories, the healings. Can that be Lazarus? Is that Lazarus following there behind Him? Can all of this be real? Now you get caught up for imagine holding your branches high and waving them like your friend next door, like waving them like the person standing beside you, shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is He that comes in the name of the Lord." Now remove your cloak. Remove your outer garment. Lay it there on the path so that He might cross without touching the foul soil. Lay your branches to make way for Him. Make way for this Jesus. He comes. Can you see Him? Can you imagine yourself there standing with Him? I can so very easily. Prepare yourself to greet Him. Prepare your branches to wave as those around you are waving. And prepare your cloaks and lay them across the ground so that He might pass. But wait a minute. Look at me. This is an old custom. The laying down of cloaks for a prophet to pass is an Old Testament custom. In 2 Kings, we read where cloaks were laid out for King Jehu as he came in to Jerusalem. This is an Old Testament custom. These are Old Testament people. We are told in the New Testament scriptures to offer ourselves. We are told in the New Testament that our bodies are living sacrifices, that we are to lay our lives down before Him. We are told that to live with Christ is to die with Christ. We're told to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. Just as Jesus gave Himself freely and humbly, we are to give ourselves, not our cloaks. That was an Old Testament custom. You'll not see it repeated in the New Testament. Because there's something else asked of you now. There's something else asked of you now. The New Testament says that we should lay ourselves before Christ. The New Testament tells us that we should lay our very lives before Christ. Turn with me to Matthew 16. Verse 21. 16:21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed on the third day and be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to the disciple, and here's the point. "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it." It doesn't say cloak. It says life. We are called on in the New Testament scriptures to lay our very lives on the ground before Christ. Not palm branches. Not our garments. Last week, for those of you who were with us, we spoke of love. We spoke of a decision that you had to make between loving God and loving world. It is so easy to cloud the two, but we must understand there's a difference between loving God and loving the world. Here, Jesus is saying, show your love for me. Not by laying palm branches down for me to pass over, but by laying your very life, your very self before me. And just as Jesus came and followed the will of the Father freely and very simplistically and very humbly, gave himself to the mission, to the ministry the Father had, the same is for you. The same is for me. So I urge you to spread yourself, to lay yourself before the ministry of God. Lay yourself, your ambitions, your desires, your wants, even your very needs. Many of you in this room understand what it means to lay your very need before God. I've had conversation with you where you didn't know where the next day would be for you. The day seemed so dark that it was just darkness. And you would say, if God doesn't do something, I don't know where I'll be. Laying that very need as a sacrifice before Him. Laying ourselves before Him is what is called on. We who have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, again, a very particular group of people, those who have been baptized, those who call on the Lord Jesus as Savior, those who call on Him as Lord, are to lay themselves as palm branches and as cloaks before Him. Just as Christ on that donkey walked over the spread garments to fulfill His ministry, let His ministry now walk over us. Let His ministry now move on the backs of the Christian people. Sacrificing Christians are to be the path which Christ has chosen to fulfill His ministry. We are to lay ourselves before Him, not stand aside and watch Him pass. Back in Matthew 21:9b, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. My prayer personally is that the Lord would walk over me, that I would be the one that laid spread eagle out before Him, and that His ministry might find success over me. Christians, I ask you to lay yourselves before Him and let your body, your life, be that which the ministry of the gospel proceeds over to find its success. Jesus found success in His ministry as He passed over those cloaks, as He passed over those branches. He kept the ultimate purpose in mind. I pray that you would as well, that you'd find your purpose, you'd find your place, you'd find your worship in giving that ultimate sacrifice, giving your body, giving yourself to the very ministry of God. Amen. Amen.